Speaker is Tony B. from La Mesa.
Quit it.
Tony, alcoholic.
You know, I know most of the people in this room, and it's like family to me, but I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous. I mean, I'm not kidding. And I, you know, from a guy who's got so much to say, I mean, I'm nervous. This is my home group, Southern Cal Speaker Meetings, my home group. Larry L. is my sponsor, you know, and he's got a sponsor that worked the 12 steps. Damian W., I'm not sure if he's here, but my story is no different than anyone else's. My first drink, I was about 13 years old. We went and stole Bacardi 151, and we got hammered. And everything was extreme when I was younger, and including until today. We stole anything we wanted to, but we hit the Bacardi 151. And back then when we used to get drunk, we'd have the presence of mind. There'd be like six of us, and three of them wouldn't get drunk, so they could carry the other three home, you know. And it just went like that. And I kept drinking. I remember, I don't know how many people remember the club Baxter's in Park Place back in the old days. And when I was 18, we used to sneak into that club. I had a fake ID, and I mean, my drinking just was out of control. At 18, I would sneak into those clubs and just thought it was like heaven on earth, you know what I mean? Drinking every night. And, you know, my drinking progressed. When I was 24, I got in a horrible car accident because of my drinking. I'd been up for about 5 days straight, and I went up to San Isabel. I was fighting with my girlfriend. I came back, and I fell asleep at the wheel, and I drifted into lane going 75 miles an hour on 67 South and hit head-on into another family. And they had to cut me out of the car with the jaws of life, and all I remember is kind of coming to. I didn't have a seatbelt on, and I locked myself in, and the car flipped and rolled. They had to put a guardrail up afterwards, but, you know, I didn't think I had a problem back then, you know, and that scared me straight for about a week. Why they didn't give me felony drunk driving for that, I have no idea, but they charged me an arm and a leg for it. I got sued in the civil court. They charged me for a guardrail they had to put up, eight cops at $70 an hour. It was mind-boggling. Anyways, fast forward, and at that point, I still could kind of didn't think I had a problem, obviously, but I'm sure I did. But at that point, I hadn't crossed that invisible line that I think about, and I don't know when exactly that was, when I was 26, 27, when I couldn't stop drinking, when it became a necessity, not a luxury. I was a long ways away from going out on Friday night and sneaking into Baxter's and picking up on women. I mean, it was that point I lost the ability, the power of choice between drink. And I think at that point, that's when my alcohol had gotten progressively worse, and I couldn't stop. And we don't have much time, so I mean, what happened is my alcoholism drove me to the streets. I mean, I remember being homeless on the streets, and I'm not talking about sleeping in my car. I mean, or sleeping on someone's couch. I mean, I was on the streets homeless. I remember sleeping in public bathrooms and taking my shoes off, and the smell was so bad. But I still couldn't stop drinking. So what I did is that at that point it got so bad. I got rained on a couple times, and I finally surrendered, and I went to the Freedom Ranch. That's where I met Larry. And you know how it is up there. We were going to take on the world. We were going to save Old Stinky. We were going to come down the hill, and we were going to help other alcoholics. We were saying the third step prayer. And you know what happened is, you know, when you're up there, it's like you're sparring for the big fight. And you know, when I came down the hill, I got knocked right out. I didn't even get out of the car, and I was drinking. And Larry stayed sober. You know, and I've gotten to this phase where I became. Let me back up. One of the reasons I don't like to speak in front of people is because there's a lot of drugs in my story, and I'm not trying to offend anyone here. And I always, it's hard for me to draw the parallel without offending the group, because I have so much respect for AA. And what I found is that as long as I treat my alcoholism with AA, everything else gets a free ride. And I became obsessed with a couple other things too, and one of them was copper. I mean, I've been electrocuted. I've electrocuted myself. I've welded myself to a railing, stealing copper. I've blinded myself. I've started numerous floods around the county, you know, so I mean, I became obsessed with it, and it's, you know, all part of my progressive illness, I guess. When I was homeless, one time I was in a drunken stupor, and I stumbled out of the bathroom I was sleeping in, and I walked right into a skunk, and I got sprayed, and that was horrible, you know. And there was lime green dots of skunk spray on me, and I was already, and I told you, I already stunk as it was, you know, so I didn't need any more stink to go with that. Anyways, this last time out, I... 5 minutes. Thanks, yeah. Thanks, Alex. Yeah. I'm going to make sure that I... Two of my roommates have spoke here, and they both got rung out, and I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen to me tonight. That's what's not going to happen. What happened this last time out is I go right to it. I put 10 months together of sobriety, but I didn't work the steps. But I was doing everything else. I was going. I had a ton of service commitments, and I was even doing H&I. I had a secretary commitment for 5 days a week, but I didn't do the steps, and I ended up getting drunk. And then I went on another spree for about 10 months. So I finally got arrested for a stupid crime. And, I was stupid on my part. I got caught stealing a bottle of aspirin and a Rite Aid, and they arrested me. And it took, be the great copper thief, you know. Anyway, and it took up for days, all because I had to go to the bathroom and hit my pipe. I could have got out of there, you know. Before that, I was on that spree, I was completely powerless, but it was so hard for me to admit my life was unmanageable at that time. The night before I got arrested, Larry called me on the phone out of the blue. I was at a library, and he called me, and he goes, "How's it going?" And he goes, before I could answer, he goes, "I know it's not going good." And right after that same night, I got arrested. And I remember that 10 month spree, I was just wasted every night. And I would write a list. I'd say, I'm like the Jane's Addiction song. I'm gonna kick tomorrow. I'm gonna stop tomorrow. I'm effing up now, but tomorrow I'm gonna stop. And I would write a list of this is what I'm gonna do tomorrow. I'm gonna start tomorrow. I'm gonna go see my loving mom who I haven't seen in months. I'm gonna go to court and appear on that traffic ticket. I'm gonna go finish my resume at the library, and I'm gonna go apply for that job. And I'd have this list. And it'd be 2 o'clock in the morning, and you know, and the 10:30 the next morning, I'd still be in the garage throwing darts, going, you know, and got nothing accomplished. And that just happened day after day after day after day after day. And we had whiskey straight off the bottle, and I mean, it was just completely powerless. What happened is I got arrested. It took about 13 days, I'm not kidding, before I finally, the fog lifted enough to where I could finally stop worrying about all the stuff that I lost again and figure out what I needed to do. I had a little taste of the program, and the only one that would talk to me was my mom, and my sister, who has 13 years, wrote me this letter, and it made me cry in jail. And said, you know, what kind of a loser are you? You know, it was like, why are you doing this? We had the best 10 months of our life when you were clean. You know, your nephew and niece need an uncle, da 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 da, and it just hit home. And I was desperate enough, and I came out of the fog to start. To know what I needed to do, and what I had a plan. And I got a big book. I read it twice when I was in there, and my mom would come visit, and I knew who I was going to get as my sponsor. It was going to be Larry or Damon, and I would tell my mom, Larry Damon. Do you want me to call him? I said, no. Let me do it when I get out. You know. And I was just desperate. I had the gift of desperation, and this time I was ready to do the steps. I didn't care what it took. I wasn't going to Bailey. I was 39. I was at Bailey again, and it just got all. I'm like, oh my God, this is so stupid. It's the best I could do. I'm in Bailey again. I grew a big beard, and I was desperate enough to do the steps. You know, this guy one time in a meeting, he said, you know, I don't know why you don't work the steps. He goes, it's like having tickets to the Super Bowl and going down to the stadium and listening to the game in the radio on your car. I mean, so I got out. How much time we got?
We got about 3 minutes, 4 minutes.
Okay. I want to get rung out. I know you're itching to ring me out, Al. I got out and I called Larry. Larry answered first, and we launched on a vigorous course of action. I mean, he was marching me around to meetings, and you know, I joined a sober softball team with him within that week, and we got busy. And I started working this program like my life depended on it. And I took the steps, and I did all the steps in a row, out of the book, with my sponsor. And I, you know, and it hasn't been easy. When I got out, I had to do 60 days, so I have my sobriety date is January 4th, 2011. I did 60 days, I got out and I launched. And it hasn't been easy. When I first got out, I was plagued by fear. Just, I wanted to grab Larry and choke him and say, this doesn't feel so free, you know, but finally the fear subsided, and as I continued to work the steps, the fear went away, and because I was fearless when I was using it, it didn't matter how destitute I was fearless. And because, as a result of working the steps with my sponsor, I took a real detailed inventory. Man, I went deep on my inventory. I went deep. I never met my father. I put my father on there. I mean, I went back to teachers that I had resentments against, since I left no stone unturned on my 4-step, and I dumped all that. And then I had a good 5th step. And once I got About a month later, I got hit with garnishment. Sometimes it seems like the only the way I can measure my progress is how much I paid back, you know. Because, I mean, I got hit with garnishment after garnishment. It seems like I finally got through that. And you know what? Why I'm not underneath a bridge somewhere getting high and drinking is a testament to a loving God in my life and Alcoholics Anonymous. And I love this program. And with that, I think that's all I got.